are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Brian Peacock, formerly of Pro Football Focus, RotoWire, KNBR, currently radio sports and traffic reporter in the Bay Area, and this is Locked On 49ers, your daily podcast for the San Francisco 49ers. Full draft season mode right now, trying to take you through every angle, pre and post draft here on the show. My guest today is Nick Winkler. Coming up this week, I'm going to have, Jeff Lloyd, who hosts Locked On Browns, and we're going to kick off the Locked On Podcast Network slow mock draft. And so that'll be fun, and we're going to have at least one person per, mostly per episode, might skip a date or two, depending on whether guests I have going on here, and we'll start doing the mock draft because it's April, and the draft is here. So let's get into this mailbag. Got a ton of questions I didn't get to you yesterday. Not a lot of news, so let's bring on today's guest and start talking 49ers with Mr. Nick Winkler.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Hey, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, buddy. I like how you you throw out your formers. I can do that too. Let me do mine real quick. Former sports columnist for the Monterey Herald, former sports weekend anchor for KSBW, former sports weekend update gentleman for KCBS as well. I'm sure there's a few more formers in there.
Former high school fullback.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Played some JV football there in high school. That was really big. Actually went out for junior college football, Cabrillo College, went for the first week of training, and then I got my wisdom teeth out, and that was just kind of the end of that.
That's weird.
So, yeah, that's my history of football.
Wisdom teeth, season-ending injury. That doesn't happen very often.
That was it, man. Yeah, it's tough to get back in once you've missed so much time. Yeah. You know?
No, I hear you.
Junior college in general was very tough to just get into for me.
And current, I don't know what the league's called, hardball. What position do you play?
Center field. Current 30 and over, starting center fielder for the Yankees there in Monterey 30 and over league.
Okay, nice. Yeah, and so I just joined a hardball league this spring. We had our first game on Saturday, and that was a hell of a lot of fun.
Isn't it so much fun, man, with the hardball? And there's just a different speed to it than slow pitch softball.
It had been such a long time, and there's a lot of elements that you miss in softball that I didn't realize, and so I had a great time.
Oh, just the small ball, too, just feels great.
It feels, and it's wood bat, so that crack.
Oh, see, I'm not a big wood bat guy.
Really?
I guess I just never played to that level, you know, so it was always aluminum for me, and I did play in one wood bat league, and I got jammed, and I seriously thought I broke my hand.
There's that aspect, but that I love that, too. There's that feedback, and if you get jammed with a wood bat, it really screws up your at bat. You get jammed with a metal bat, you can still fist it over, you know.
But it screwed up my whole day. Like, it was in my first at bat, and I'm helping out a buddy in this league. I'm like, I don't know if I can keep batting for the rest of the day. My hand's bruising. Look.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. It was not.
Oh, man. That's funny. Let's see.
Didn't invite me back. Weird.
Are you excited for the mock draft? Because I think I'm going to have you make our pick again, pick number 9 for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, I nailed it last year. I was just off by,
29 picks. Yeah, exactly. Close enough, though. You nailed the guy. I mean, you nailed player. And they had him rated that high, too, so you weren't off there.
No, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, I'd love to make the pick. I mean, we sit and listen to you talk about all your draft picks and everything and your great knowledge. Why not just throw in the guy who doesn't know anything to make the pick? Dude, I love it.
I mean, I will advise you. I'm going to be your lead scouting director and try to advise you, put you on the right path to making this selection, but it's got to be all you. It's going to be on you if this player busts or not.
Okay, good. I like that. I've been following all my 49er beat writers, good. As long as I can remember. I do my homework.
It's funny because I think every beat writer, everybody that covers it for different blogs and different podcasts around for the 49ers. And by the way, 49ers have some of the best coverage in the NFL, I think, as far as beat writers go. A lot of great people covering the team, both on site and off. And everyone's kind of got their player. It's not a consensus at all right now for the 49ers at 9, which is kind of fun. And there's a group of guys where those names are consistent, but there's not one name that's really coming up a lot more often than another, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just so different from a year ago when you're sitting there at 2, It's like there's only a couple guys that you really get thrown out there. But now at 9, who even knows who's going to fall? The guy that, hearing people talk about today, all of a sudden next week, could be a favorite for somebody in the top 5. So just who knows, man? It's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the mock draft too. I really like the slow mock where you take, you know, you give one team a chance to pick and talk about it and everything. And yeah, then this is going to be great, man.
Yeah. You get into the mindset and you kind of have a really good idea of how things are going to go rather than just someone from the outside that doesn't follow the team. Cause there's some angles that you don't see and some reports that you don't get, the teams that are really entrenched that really know what's going on with their team. So that's why it's a lot of fun. So yeah, Jeff Lloyd, that's going to kick off on, I believe, Thursday's episode to end the week. We'll kick off that mock draft.
Sweet, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, let's get into this mailbag segment. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
And by the way, thanks everybody for being involved with the mailbag. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock or find Nick at Bay Area Wink. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com to get those questions in or just say hi. We're going to start off with sort of a non-football-y question, semi-football related. This is from our boy John Wick, who came with a good question last week. So we're going to go back to John Wick. He asks, if Jimmy G and or Patrick Willis were a beer, what beer would they be?
Ooh, that's a good one, man.
So I'm thinking for Patrick Willis, it'd have to be a beer that packs a punch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like one of those Imperial, like 9%, 12%, like a barley wine maybe.
Yeah, you know, something one that you have one and you're done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think a barley wine would be it. Something
that's like a Bigfoot ale.
Right, okay. Yes, very good. That's a great call. Bigfoot ale for sure for Patrick Willis. That is perfect selection. For Jimmy G, something opposite.
Something smooth.
Smooth, easy drinkable that goes
like
down
Stella,
quick.
Stella Artois, I think.
Okay, yeah. I like it. Comes in a fancy package.
Yeah.
In a nice pretty glass.
You're supposed to drink it in a chalice.
That's a great call. Stella and Bigfoot Ale. Those are fantastic calls there. By the way,
good question. Yeah, bring it, question. Wick.
John Wick, you earned another one. You're going to be a leadoff hitter next week for us too, because this is good stuff.
On base percentage is huge right now.
So this reminds me of something I heard when I was listening to, it's been a while now, but on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, they had a question about how often you wash your towel. Like the towel that you dry off with after a shower. And Trevor on the show is, I'm not going to call him a pretty boy or anything like that, but you know, he's got like, you know, he uses hair product. He's got fancy hair. And his answer blew me away. And I'm wondering if that's like a common thing. He's like, he says he uses it one time, one and done.
No.
And I thought that was insane.
I get it if you like go to the gym and use the towel one time, but in your own house?
But you're clean when you use it, right?
Yeah.
You're just, you, it's just, I mean, getting
get it,
wet
like
and drying.
Flakes
it.
Come off and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And hair and stuff. I get it, but I'm not one time. I mean, I try to wash mine weekly. I say try because, you know, it doesn't always happen.
But, good. No, we're on the same page.
I'm also the guy that hangs it up right away. You know, I don't leave it on the ground like my wife, you know, and there's like four towels on the ground getting all moldy.
Oh, see, that's a different idea. Once it goes to the ground, I could see it's that done. Being retired for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
never, mine to. Never goes to the ground.
Well, like I said, there's four on the ground because she can't use it. So there's another one instead of hanging it up. It just goes right back on top of the next one.
And I'm not trying to do laundry all the time. That's another thing.
Oh, it's expensive, man.
Yeah.
I get it. My dad used to be like, I'm not paying, you know, to heat the neighborhood and stuff when we'd have the windows open. I get it now, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So
I've apologized to him many times.
Yeah, we're definitely on the same page there then.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Just reuse the towel at least a week. Use it seven times. But I'm a guy too. I shower at least once a day, sometimes twice. I just don't like, if I sweat, I'm going to take a shower when I get home.
Okay.
I don't want to just sit around in it. That's gross.
You don't want to sit around in your filth.
Nah, exactly. It's just like bats, dude. I don't get it. You're stewing in your own filth.
Yeah. Okay.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm with you. All right, let's move along to Dominic. He says, I read a lot about how the 49ers aren't a Super Bowl team yet, but do you believe this team could beat anyone in this league with GQ and Shanahan? I do. That's what Dominic, that was Dominic's idea. That wasn't mine.
Oh, okay. I do. Yeah, why not? I mean, that's football, man. Anybody can beat anybody any given Sunday. And with Shanahan and what we saw from Garoppolo at the end of the season, why the hell not?
I believe so. And looking at where the 49ers are at and seeing how they finished the season and going, so rewind 1 year. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Rams or the Jaguars? Were those guys,
exactly.
Were those teams the ones that were like, oh, these teams are going to be going deep in the playoffs? These are great teams. Even the Vikings were sort of dark horse. Philly without their starting quarterback. So you're right.
No, you're right. I mean, even the Titans, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, Mariota, he's got a shot and you got to make that step. A lot of those teams did, and I think the 49ers are ready to take it.
And so for me, I think it's more about, is your team so bad that there's like no way? Like, it's almost like it's hard to be the favorite and be like, oh, this team can beat anyone every week. I think it's a lot easier to be the opposite, where you're like, oh, this team is garbage and might not win three games. And you're right, sort of like eliminated from, you kind of know that you're not going to be a playoff team going in. And the 49ers aren't that anymore. So from that aspect, then they could beat anyone in the league any week. Absolutely.
Yeah, any week, sure. Not every week. I don't see this team going undefeated or anything. But yeah, no, dude, of course. With the talent they've got, especially stocked up on that defensive line, and you know, with Garoppolo under center and just Shanahan calling plays, man, yeah, I feel like they could definitely beat anybody. I mean, you know, it's starting to look a little bit tougher when it comes to teams like the Rams and stuff. But yeah, I mean, why not? You see Aaron Donald, he's practicing and going up with against knives.
What was that? That's like not even... Whatever contract he signs has got to have some language. It's like, you can't do that, man.
Because right. That's they're going to have to start putting that into contracts now. And like, yet, you cannot practice with knives.
And I get taking it to the next level, and training regimens are getting kind of insane, but that's too far. Like, as soon as that tweet came out, I bet his phone blew up from the trainer for the Rams, head coach McVay was calling him, GM, agent. Like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
Right, you don't want to lose any of those fingers, man. Come on.
And for anyone that hasn't seen it, go look for Aaron Donald doing some training with I don't even know how to explain it. So it was a guy that had a knife in each hand, and they were doing sort of defensive versus offensive line drills, like hand fighting. But the other dude had knives, and Aaron Donald did not.
Like, just in case he goes up against Edward Scissorhands or something, like, he'll be ready.
And I guess it's a great training for, like, not trying to get around the other lineman without getting caught in their punch, in their hands, right? Because if it's a knife, you really don't want to. So, but the other weird thing is that the guy with the knives had like arm pads, but Donald had nothing.
He's not worried about it. He's like, I'm the best at this. I'll be fine.
And it was choreographed, so it wasn't. Sure. I mean, it wasn't like kung fu movie choreographed.
But still, one small mistake.
Right, exactly. So
definitely a lot of time.
Definitely not worth it. That was a surprising video to see.
It's just Looney Tunes, man.
Let's move on to Matt via Twitter, who asks, there was an article about seven trades the NFL should see on draft day. One included the 49ers, the 9th pick for AJ Green, and the Bengals 21st pick. Your thoughts?
Yes, please.
You like that? So moving down from 9 to 21 and getting AJ Green in return.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Big, tall, fast receiver. Hell yes.
Oh, man. He is pretty perfect for what exactly would be a perfect receiver for the 49ers, too. Red zone, one of the best red zone receivers since he's come into the league. Ball skills and gets open. So one of the best receivers in the league. He's had some injuries, but, I mean, he's still playing at a high level. Man, that's an interesting idea. I would have to say yes to that. I don't know how you couldn't, right?
Yeah, I mean, why is it thrown out there? Is it like a contract thing? Maybe he's coming towards the end of it, or he's too expensive right now, or just Cincinnati's garbage? Like, what's
I'm trying to
why did that get thrown out there?
I didn't see, he didn't link to the article. So,
you're talking about 6'4" wide receiver, you know, that's faster than hell.
Yeah,
why would they do that?
Matt, send me a link to the article where you saw this trade proposal. But I've seen AJ Green as someone who was thought to be a player that would be available and be dangled out there just because of where the Bengals are, but they didn't change coaching staffs. And I really don't know what the Bengals are doing. They're sort of just like in that purgatory of being like a good, not great team.
Well, it looks like in 2015, he signed a 4-year deal. So yeah, this is there's one more year next year, but it's more of a, I think they can buy him out of it for $3 million or something, but he's owed $12 million next year.
Yeah, so
maybe that's why. Yeah, they just feel like, okay, we're not going to be able to re-sign this guy.
$10.5 million in 2018, $12 million in 2019, and they can buy him out. Or just if they cut him, it's a $3 million cap hit after 2018.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's valid. I mean, Odell Beckham's talking about trying to get a $20 million contract per year. So,
right.
Still in his prime right now. He'll be 30 by the time his contract is over. But right now, AJ Green's still in that prime.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he's going to be looking for probably a 4 or 5 year deal again at the age of 30. So yeah, why not try to get something for him right now?
Well, and then it comes down to, so just straight up value, we've talked about how if the 49ers move down from the 9th pick, if you move down, that's 12 picks from 9 to 21, what would you be looking
plus
to get?
Plus you get AJ Green.
But so if you were just moving down for those picks, so the Bengals called and said, hey, they didn't offer AJ Green, but they offered draft picks instead. And it's like, we want to move up from 21 to 9. what pick would it take? That would take, what, a future first round pick? At least a second this year, probably more. So that, I mean, that's kind of a lot of value, actually, to go from 9 to 21. That's a future first, basically, or maybe a second and third this year. So it's not nothing to give up, but for the 49ers and the situation they're in, it's kind of a freebie to where you can move down and gain a stud player. It's an interesting scenario there, and I don't know, but I want to see like where it came from, just people throwing stuff out there as far as, and that's hard with veteran trades. I get a lot of questions and I kind of skip over them sometimes when it comes to veteran trade ideas, because it's really hard to pin down what the value of a veteran would be on the open market and what they get in return for trade. It's really difficult, and generally they end up getting a lot less than what you would expect versus their name value.
Yeah, but then you look at the guys that signed contracts this year. I mean, there was some crazy money being thrown around there for some just semi-okay wide receivers. You know, so you're talking about a guy, A.J. Green, who would probably be in the top five or, you know, very least top 10 wide receivers in the NFL. And, you know, this, you're going to lock him up. I guess you only got him for one more year.
So if you get 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This seems like it'd be a great deal. I don't know why you wouldn't want to look at this. Unless you're, of course, you know, they also want something else along with it instead of just trading up for, what is it? No, did you say 19 spots, 12 spots?
12 spots, 21 to 9.
12, yeah, that doesn't seem like a whole lot to me.
Because the Bengals have...
Especially if like the 49ers have two or three guys they really want and they're both gone. They're at pick 9. They're like, okay, well, the next guy we got, we can probably get at 21. Why not?
It's a little lower than what I would want to go. And by the way, tomorrow's show, I'm going to drop a little big board. So we'll see how a little big board.
Ooh,
I like how I said that.
Little big board.
A little big board. A little tiny one. pick 21 might be kind of far to go, and you might be out of the range of that tier of players that you're hoping to get, you know, the mid first round value or just first round value in general. A lot of times, teams, it's pretty common for teams to only have about 20 players that are quote unquote first round players on their draft boards. Mm-hmm. So, I think there would be a significant drop between like 15 and 21. I think that's where there's definitely going to be a drop in tier for me. So we'll see how that goes. I'll drop that big board tomorrow and we'll talk a little bit more about that value. Also interesting, it would make not a lot of sense, I think, for the Bengals because they just moved down from 12 to 21 because the 21st pick used to be the Bills, but they traded for Cordy Glenn and did that same swap basically. So they went from 12 to 21 and got Cordy Glenn from the Bills.
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But when you compare those trades, would you rather drop down and get Cordy Glenn or would you rather drop down and get A.J. Green?
Right.
So value, I guess, if you look at that and use that trade that they already did as value, I guess it's not bad.
It's a bargain, man.
Let's move on to Kim. Kim is from Denmark. Shout out to all our listeners in Denmark. How valuable is Adam Peters to our draft success and will we lose him to another team if we kill the draft like last year?
I'd say he's probably very valuable. I mean,
I know
that he was one of the early targets there by Lynch.
Yeah, and he's a high riser, and he's someone that I think around the league people have talked about. When the 49ers hired him, they're like, yeah, this is a future GM type of person. And I've liked the work he's done with the 49ers, sure. I think the 49ers have maybe one sort of trump card when it comes to Adam Peters, and that's that, and he's already kind of in charge of the whole scouting department, basically. And John Lynch is such a figurehead GM that I think they have a trump card to where they could just restructure it to where, okay, Adam Peters, now you're the GM, and John Lynch, you're the VP of football operations or whatever.
Yeah.
So he could still get that job and not have to leave San Francisco.
Yeah, and nothing changes, just titles.
Right, exactly. Titles, give him some more money.
Yeah.
So good question. I guess. By the way, you're listening to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local daily sports podcast network. My guest today, you know him, Nick Winkler. A little early, it's a Winky Tuesday. We're doing a little mailbag here, so let's keep it rolling.
Yeah, I'm going up to opening home opener tomorrow for the Giants, or today if you're listening on Tuesday.
So. Oh, nice. Yeah, well, that's why we're doing it early, because usually we record on Tuesday night and go into the ball game. Interesting first four games in L.A. for the Giants.
Yeah, right. If you'd said they were going to score two runs and get out of there with two wins, you'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah, two Joe Panic solo homers and they split the series. So I guess not bad. I'm waiting for that offense to jump. But this is not the Locked On San Francisco Giants podcast. Although, gosh, I was tempted to take that on.
Yeah, a lot of work, man. That would have been, what, 10 podcasts a week there for a while?
Jeez, yeah, that's rough. With the baby coming, I couldn't do it.
No way.
But yeah, the MLB shows are coming for the Locked On Podcast Network. So big, big things continue to come for the network, which is really cool. Let's move on to Carlos on Twitter, and then we'll get to a couple of emails here before we get rolling. If Sherman isn't the same after injury, where else can he play? Safety, slot, or just get cut? Oof, that's a scary thought.
Yes to all of the above, I suppose.
Man, I don't know.
He doesn't hit enough to be, you know, a strong safety, that's for sure.
I would say if he's not the same after injury, that probably means he's pretty broken to the point where, I mean, his skills aren't what you would want for a slot receiver or slot corner anyways. So maybe you look at him at safety, but if he's that broken, probably just done. He's cut, yeah.
Yeah.
And the 49ers have outs in the contract, so that would pretty much be that, I think, if he can't play corner.
Yeah, it's sad to say that is definitely a possibility, but again, very nice to have that security in the contract. Well done, Parag.
Right, and which is why cornerback is still of high priority in the draft. They have to draft somebody who could potentially be, you know, basically this year's version of Akello Witherspoon. I would be very surprised if the 49ers haven't drafted someone by the end of their pick number 74 in the third round, if they don't have a corner who's someone, a developmental corner that could start possibly this year and at least start by next year, depending on how Sherman looks. And probably I would say they're going to draft that player by round two, even if the right guy's still on the board.
Yeah, I mean, even though they're talking about Line and Ward up there, you know, come OTAs.
They do have Ward, which is a nice bit of, you know, his versatility has really helped out the 49ers a lot of years because he's changed positions every single year. And he's shown that he has the capabilities of being a starter at outside corner, at free safety. He could play strong safety, and he could play the slot, too. So it's a pretty valuable piece, even though he's never been able to stay healthy and really just stay in one spot throughout his career. So Jimmy Ward, he's people have talked about him getting traded, getting cut. No, I don't think so. He's too valuable in that role because he can do so much.
Right.
And you just hope he can stay healthy, and then maybe he can earn himself a new contract, and they find out they've got a guy that can do a lot of things and continue to provide value.
It would scare me to invest any money in him.
It's tough, man. But I think he would all. It would be the same throughout the league, right? So it's right. Not like he's going to get such a huge contract somewhere else that you can't afford to match that.
That's true.
So I don't know. We're kind of getting our head over. He has to stay healthy first to even get to that point.
Hasn't done that yet, so we'll see. Exactly. Fingers crossed, man. I'd love it.
Let's go to Steven via email. By the way, that email is lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And sticking with the safeties here, he says, "Hey, Brian, love the podcast. Thank you very much, Steven. Appreciate it." He says it's the first thing he puts on every morning when he gets into the car, except Fridays. Well, sorry, I mean, it's the off season, so there's four a week. When we get in the regular season, you can do it again on Fridays as well. So, yeah, and he also gives a shout out to the Winky Wednesdays, and he's a Pearl Jam fan, so he likes the Pearl Jam talk as well.
Yeah.
Let's see. His question is, what is with all the talk of the 49ers taking a safety with a top 10 pick when we just let a high-quality starter in Reed walk? Because that still leaves us with three starting caliber safeties on the roster. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when a ton of mock drafts and pundits have us taking a safety at pick 9. I get that beyond 2018, safety may become a need because Tart and Ward contracts, yada, yada, yada. But that's true for every position group. P.S. Sand in the pants, he says. So, yes. Thank you for the email, Steven. And I see where you're at.
Sure.
I don't
like the idea of taking a safety that early.
I have not put a safety in any of my picks for mock drafts. And I think the players that I think I would have considered in the past, that's why I have Minkah Fitzpatrick a little bit higher than Derwin James, because I see Derwin more as a pure safety, and I see Minkah as someone who could play corner. So that's where that, you know, we just talked about how great it is with Ward's versatility. If he's gone next year, someone else that could be the starter at free safety could start and be the guy in the slot, because basically the slot corner is a starter at this point. So I understand Minkah a little more than Derwin James, even though Derwin's a beast too. It's just frustrating, I think, because the best player on the board, if you're going straight best player available, might be one of those two players. So, and just to flip that idea, let's say we're sitting here in 2020, and there's this perennial all-pro safety that the 49ers didn't draft because they're like, oh, we have a bigger need right now at this other position. And they drafted a mediocre player at that position. And you're sitting there thinking, what the hell were we doing 2 years ago? Why didn't we just take the best player? Because needs change every year anyways. Just take the best guy.
Right.
So I can see both sides of that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but you know, you say he might be the best player available on their board when it comes to their pick, but they have also got to know what they have at safety, right? I mean, they're definitely going to be prepared for that kind of situation. I don't see them, you know, just dropping another safety because they have three quality safeties right now.
And safety throughout the league, I mean, you see it with Eric Reed, and there's a number of good safeties that are out there that are still available. There's a lot of good safeties in the NFL. The 49ers have three that could start at safety. It's not a position that is difficult to find right now in the NFL.
That being said, if you go back last year and you redo the draft, would you trade Jamal Adams for Solomon Thomas at that pick number three? Probably.
Yeah, but also at the same time, if you go back to that time, we didn't realize how, and I think it was maybe overstated how difficult it is and how perfect these fits have to be at safety in this scheme for the 49ers because everybody throughout there looked great.
Yeah.
So you come back this year and you're thinking, oh, dude, forget about safety. Let's go get the quarterback. You know, let's get a pass rusher. And so that's kind of, I mean, I think if you, and when I do my draft board, Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick are better overall prospects than Harold Landry, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's kind of the thing. It's like, but there's not a lot of pass rushers out there. There was zero really to get in free agency. Jeremiah Tauschie was one of the better ones the 49ers could get. And they got a
supply
1-year
and demand.
Yeah. So if a guy can get after the quarterback, even if it's only situationally, it could be a lot more valuable than even an all-pro safety.
Yeah. I mean, after watching the 49ers the last 2, 3, 4 seasons, you just so many times, man, it's like the quarterback's still in the pocket. The quarterback's still in the pocket. Where's the pressure? There's no pressure.
Yeah, and there is pressure. And it's like, okay, there's pressure. And the quarterback evades easily and then makes a throw down the field 10 seconds later.
The one guy, well, you know, and we play Seattle so many times.
Yeah.
Man. It's so brutal watching Wilson run around.
And I think that would be sort of the argument for the pass rusher on the outside is that that guy with that speed can clean up all those plays and also push the quarterback inside. And so he can't run away outside. So he tries to run inside. And then that's the teeth of the defense. And you've got guys like Buckner and Solomon Thomas sitting there. So
those players work together.
The emailer was Steven.
Steven, P.S.S. Steikyhouse.
Steikyhouse, exactly. Well done. All right, let's see. Let's get to two more. I think we can fit two more emails in here if we work quickly. Let's go to Basilio. Oh, Basilio. He tells me this is good. Thank you, Basilio, for telling me how to pronounce it. He put it at the bottom. Basilio. First off, thank you for the great podcast. Love the updates and the feedback you give. And I also admire how much you watch all caps the tape. It's all about the tape. I love people talking about the film and the tape as if we like, you know, we put it on a projector and I've got like a projection theater in my house watching.
Razor blades, you're cutting it and editing.
The film. I'm a film buff. Yes, thank you, Basilio. I appreciate that. And his question, given the pass rushers are never found in free agency. Okay, see, this is all just coming together here. Given that pass rushers are never found in free agency due to the fact that it's a premium position, I am 100% committed to drafting Harold Landry, assuming Bradley Chubb is snatched up prior to pick 9. I personally watched the tape, and he displays the bend, in quotation marks, and the explosive quickness off the line that elite pass rushers in the NFL possess. I know you went with Tremaine Edmonds, but don't you think drafting a pass rusher like Harold would make more of an immediate and long-term impact than a 19-year-old strong side linebacker? Thank you for the question, Basilio. I don't know. What do you think? Let me give you this scenario, Nick.
Okay.
19-year-old that has all the tools in the world to be something, but he's not anything quite yet.
Right.
Could give you a little bit of everything. Coverage, run and chase linebacker. Could come and get the quarterback a little bit off the edge. Or a dynamic pass rusher who gives you nothing on first down, but is a sub-package monster edge rusher. Which one of those players would you take?
It's tough because, you know me, I'm a middle linebacker guy.
Yes.
But that being said, you know, we've gone through so much over the past 8 to 10 years with all these ACL projects and all these guys that sky's the limit. And, you know, there's so much talent there and we can find it in him and this and that I've kind of soured on it, to be completely honest. And also you watch the tape and I just said it, you know, there's too many times where the quarterback's standing back there for 5, 6 seconds and there's absolutely no pressure on him at all. And then you bring in a guy like Doomerville last year, who's well past his prime and he's getting sacks, you know? So you bring in a young guy like Landry. I think I got to go with that. I really think that is the biggest area of concern right now for the 49ers.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is.
I'm
it's kind real
of, tough. I'm a big fan of going, like I mentioned earlier, best player available, I think, is where smart teams go, especially early in the draft. And the 49ers have done a good job at attacking what needs they had, at least somewhat, to how they have football players. They have players at the need spots before getting to the draft. So I think that gives them a little bit of flexibility. It's not like they have to draft one position in the first round. But at the same time, yeah, there's a difference between flexibility and versatility and being a tweener and being a player that doesn't really fit in any of the spots. And so,
because Harold Landry will fit, you know, like you said, even if it's only on third down when he just comes in and tries to put pressure around the outside, like there's a spot for him now.
And a sub package edge rusher would still be on the field 60, 70% of the time.
Yeah. Totally.
So that's the big side of the split. So that's, you want to be the third down player in this league right now and not the first down type of player.
Sure.
But there's definitely some deficiencies, and that's why when I'm doing mock drafts and stuff, I'm thinking I'd rather trade down and take Harold Landry than take him at nine, because then need meets value. And so ideally that's where you're at. So I think that's the first thing the 49ers are going to do is wait for the phone to ring when they're on the clock.
I think the 49ers showed it last year too, that they're not afraid to reach for a guy, you know, when it came to CJ Beathard or Joe Williams. You know, they're just like, this is the guy we want. Let's get him. Who cares when we take him? You know, this is the guy we want. And with Williams, hasn't quite panned out yet, but I feel like if they get to nine and they like Landry and they know that's a position of need for them, they're not going to risk moving back a few spots or anything and hope he falls to them. I think they'll just go grab him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the good teams around the league, they get after the quarterback. And if you can find some pretty good players at a lot of positions outside of the first round. And especially this draft, you're looking at free agency, not a lot of edge rushers. So if they think edge rusher, if they think he's that player that even only in sub packages, he's an absolutely legit rusher, I got no problem going there because it's so important.
No doubt.
One more quick question from Jeff. What is your opinion about the 49ers scheduling meetings with so many low-tier, undrafted free agent type prospects? A conspiracy theorist might think that it means that we are planning to use multiple draft picks to move up. It's conspiracy season now. This is what people get weird when it comes to the draft. My simple answer to that is no, they're just doing homework, because they're gonna, every team ends up signing like a dozen undrafted free agents after the draft is over. So they got to know who they like. They got to stack their board. They got to draft a seventh rounder. They have 2 7th round picks. They got a 5th round pick, a 6th round pick. So they got to do homework on everybody. And a lot of these guys, it's hard, especially the small school guys. You got to go see them. You got to go meet with them, work them out, because you don't have as much tape. They weren't at the All-Star games. They weren't invited to the combine. So I think it's all homework at this point. I don't think you can look too much into any of that stuff.
And that's the wise thing to say, but I'm going to bite. Chubb, here we come. Yeah, moving up.
Dude, and so we're all this hand-wringing, all this stuff we're talking about, oh, man, is it a reach if you draft a guy there, or how important is a position? Dude, how about just saying, okay, here's an extra third-round pick. Let's get that guy and erase all of that doubt.
Yeah, I love it.
If the 49ers can trade up with either one of their third-round picks and add that to pick nine and end up with Bradley Chubb, I am 100% okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope that the conspiracy is right.
I'm with Jeff, man.
Yeah, good work, Jeff.
I like where you're at, Jeff. Let's see if we can spread this. Let's open up some thing. Fake Twitter accounts and just start tweeting all kinds of stuff about the
real
49ers
Bradley
potential.
Chubb.
Yeah, some fake Adam Schefter accounts and try to get that drummed up. I like this conspiracy stuff. Okay, I think we've done a good job here. We hit almost all of them. I do apologize to all the folks who didn't get to. I had a lot of emails and tweets for the mailbag stuff. People get excited for the draft, man. I love it.
Of course.
It's the off season, and I have as much action now as far as listeners and still gaining listeners and a ton of people that want to talk 49ers in the draft. So it's pretty awesome to be involved with this podcast, doing it daily through the off season, and people are excited about it.
I am too, man. I listen every day. The future's bright. That's why they're excited about the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy G makes a lot of things okay.
Yeah, it all starts with Shanahan, though.
Yeah, Shanny, Jimmy G, John Lynch, Adam Peters, Robert Saleh.
Yes.
I like everything that's going on here. People are going to start poaching. If the 49ers start winning, that's the thing. That was a good point by the earlier question, is people are going to start poaching people off the 49ers staff. That's what happens after you start winning. And then your good players, people start wanting to overpay them. And you see it with teams like the Seahawks, and it's hard to stay on top. So the 49ers are on their way up, and hopefully that continues. I mean, I guess I shouldn't really count the chickens before they hatch, talking about being on top. The 49ers are a 6-10 team right now.
But after the few seasons before that, hey, I'll take it.
And Garoppolo's never lost a game in his NFL career, so.
He's not going to.
Right, I doubt he ever does.
Nah, man, this is it. 16-0.
I mean, stats, that's 100%.
Right, no, why would you bet against it? That's foolish.
There's no give there. All right, let's do it. Nick, thanks.
My pleasure, buddy.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. Be back tomorrow with the big board. And then on Thursday, we're going to kick off the slow-moving Locked On 49ers NFL mock draft. I'll talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.